freedom. I can't handle this.
When freedom brings,
answer the call.
On your feet,
stand up tall.
Freedom's on our shoulders.
USA!
Enemies of freedom. Face the music.
Come on, boys.
Craig, what's the serving? The music or my ability to match up the dancing to it?
I think the fact that you're dancing at all to it, but yeah, the matching up, you did great.
I was a cheerleader for a year.
Got it. You and the little girls all were doing the exact same motions.
Ready? Okay.
Mm-hmm. By the way, are they at the convention?
I think
Let's find out. Yeah. Maybe Brandon Weatherby, who is one of the most popular podcasters in the entire country with You, Me, Them, Everybody, is on the line with us, and he's at the convention. How you doing, Brandon?
I'm alive. How are you?
You're alive? Was that in question? Was that in doubt?
Well, no. I mean, kind of, yeah.
Oh.
So many people thought this was going to be a police state, but it's actually a very calm, very boring, very nice Cleveland right now.
And so everything is all copacetic. Ooh. Could you mark that? I don't think we've said copacetic this year yet. Please, Craig. Thank you.
Well, I am a local H fan, so yes, it is copacetic. And the Secret Service and the police here are fantastic, and I really think that having a basketball team that won a championship and then 1.2 million people to send your city without any planning and that going off really well has made this convention incredibly smooth.
Have you been to other conventions?
No, but I've been to insane events. This is essentially South by Southwest, which is an annual music festival.
Huh.
But it replaced bands with nerds, and there's the exact same amount of Texans, and that's all this is.
Yeah, Brandon, because I've heard some of the music coming out of there. Rokan had some of it in the background earlier, and I'm going to say, yeah, not South by Southwest.
Sure, yes. It's not a good music. Yeah, but the whole idea of, like, why this is happening is really no different than South by. It's a convention,
right?
First and foremost.
With people with similar tastes, right.
Yeah, exactly. So it's really, if you don't like this one specific taste, go somewhere else and go to Philly next week or just not go to a convention. So
did you come into the convention with a cynical sort of tone, or were you open to whatever the experience was going to be?
Open to whatever. I mean, it's absolutely. I didn't think it was going
to
be nearly as hectic. I'm sorry. Let's go that. Go again.
No, you have to be open, I think. If you're going to participate and then, you know, report back, I'm guessing you have to really go in with a good attitude.
Oh, absolutely. And I honestly think that due to all the recent tragedies, it's actually a lot easier to be less cynical about this in a weird, horrible way.
Uh-huh.
I mean, what Newt Gingrich said last week is really healthy for this country, and I don't think that should be understated in any way, and I think that kind of set the tone for this convention.
Do you think that what he, and I believe Marco Rubio was also talking about, whether it was law enforcement and having to bridge that gap of communication, of connection between our, you know, our communities that are stressed and our police force that is there to do a job and to protect us. Does it feel, and of course, you know, the tragedies of yesterday make it even more intensely felt. So do you get the sense that they'll be able to maintain that, or is it too early to tell as far as the first day of the convention?
I mean, if the Secret Service and the police, they could absolutely handle it. I've never dealt with nicer, more polite officers ever.
And are you, by the way, speaking of the people that you're at the convention with, are you staying in a hotel with other delegates, with delegates at all?
No, I'm not made of money. I am staying 20 minutes outside of the city in Seven Hills, which is an idyllic suburb of Cleveland. A very nice man rented us an Airbnb for $89 a night, and then quickly tried to jack it up to $3,000 a night, and then we just didn't respond for a while, and he had to honor his agreement. So
wait a minute. How long ago did you reserve the Airbnb?
For how many days?
No, how long ago did you reserve it that he tried in the meantime to jack it up?
3 weeks, and then he realized, you're coming for the RNC? No, we're going to try to charge you $3,000 a night. So.
Oh, golly. And how are you getting back and forth? I'm sorry, go ahead, Brandon.
Oh, no, we're Uber, honestly. Uber and Lyft, and there hasn't been one surge pricing yet. It's really weird.
That is strange. Okay, so
yes. When
did you get into Cleveland for the RNC convention?
We got there late last night, so we got into Cleveland proper this morning. It took a few hours to get through security to get up your USSS badge and then another hour to get your regular badge. So it took about 3 hours due to walking in lines to get into the convention center. But once you're inside, it's very fine. The security for this thing, I'm so surprised that it's actually smooth. It's better than like Lollapalooza.
I love that he compares everything to a big music concert.
Yeah, it's essentially what this is, though.
I'm trying to compare it to, like, events in the city. I mean, I think the security for certain Blackhawks games, especially if it's, like, the Winter Classic and it's outside, is harsher than the RNC.
Interesting. Well, yeah. Now, have you seen open carry? Because I know that there were a few photos floating around with people with their big rifles.
Outside. Sure, but not nearly as much as I thought I was going to see, honestly. Okay. And I'm in the actual convention center, and I'm also in Freedom Plaza, and I'm going out, and I'm talking to people. I'm not seeing hardly any guns, and if they are open carrying them, they're not like bragging about them. I have one reporter friend that did a story with a man with a gun. That's it. It's not the news clips that you see that were preparing for this convention, thinking that this was going to be just a giant gun show. It's really not.
Well, that's good. I'm just glad that it doesn't feel tense, as I think most of us would assume, considering not just the weekend, but also the kind of, I think, the tone that the RNC sort of puts out there. You think, well, we're going to bring our guns and we want to be able to flash them. Isn't that your impression?
Yeah, no, and I expected a lot more like kind of protesting and maybe just conversations about that kind of stuff. So it's surprising to hear that it's smooth and nice and not really all wild and crazy like we might have thought.
Yeah, he brings up a good point. Are there a lot of protesters?
There's about as many protesters as your last guest mentioned about people that were on the Never Trump movement. It's a very small minority. There were two protesters from Code Pink that were protesting right as Giuliani was being introduced and during Giuliani's speech. And they both held up signs and they both said their piece and they were both shut down, one of which was for Bikers for Trump. They were cleanly taken out. There were no arrests made. And I ran into them about 20 minutes later outside the convention center. They were totally fine. They got their credentials on the ground. They just found them on the ground. They walked in with signs. They said their piece.
Wait,
no arrests made.
Somebody discarded their credentials and these guys picked those up and walked in.
Yeah,
no one cared.
Interesting.
Like I said, it's harder to get into music festivals and into sporting events than it is to get into the RNC.
You know, Brandon, I am curious. There's a whole lot of people in one place, so the question has to be asked. Are there a lot of good Pokemon? Are people catching good Pokemon there?
No. No. Like, shockingly, no. And it's not like there's bad Wi-Fi. Like, there's really good Wi-Fi. There's really good connection. I am not seeing nearly as much Pokemon as I thought. Like, if you were following Twitter at all over the weekend, that was the story in New York City in Central Park. That was trending on Saturday. Nothing. I don't know why.
He sounds angry about it.
I just think that the trend is maybe over in America at this point. At least, maybe it hasn't caught on to the RNC.
I was going to say.
Like next week in Philly.
Are you going to Philly?
I'm going to Philly.
Okay, so now we have to know who's more Pokemon friendly, is the Democrats or the Republicans. Not friendly, but savvy. I guess maybe Pokemon savvy would be the...
Trends come and go, man. I don't know. I'm not... That's one bet I will not make.
Craig, I think the next one's going to be a Ghostbusters.
I like that.
Augmented reality.
I ain't afraid of no ghosts.
No.
Let's do that.
I'm just saying, catching ghosts. That would be fun. Now that I would get into. Then I would be the Patty the Ghostbuster.
Mm-hmm. If you could use like a proton pack and catch a ghost, yeah.
Sorry, Brendan. I didn't mean to veer from our conversation about the RNC.
Fine. Totally fine.
What kind of media access do you have? What does that entitle you to? I mean, are they offering different delegates to you or candidates or speakers?
Yeah, we can go everywhere. It doesn't really matter. Everyone's out. I mean, it doesn't, honestly, people are people. Oh, I get to ride in an elevator with Rick Perry. I'm not going to write home about that. I don't care. That's just a name. It's just a guy wearing glasses to look smart. I don't care. None of this is for me. I mean, why would you ever be impressed by a politician and be impressed by what somebody actually does? Anyways, this is just me on a soapbox. Yeah, you can meet pretty much anybody except Trump.
And who have you had the opportunity to speak to?
I spoke to a lot of different journalists. I spoke to a lot of different supporters, a lot of different journalists from the right that turned over, specifically Rebecca Haglund from Town Hall. Her and I talked for a while, and she pretty much explained the reason why she switched to Trump was simply because of Mike Pence.
Really? Mike Pence was the additional oomph that she needed?
She was part of the Cruz campaign, and she's a right-wing journalist, and Mike Pence is the guy that conservatives want, and Mike Pence doesn't make a lot of noise, so you are going to see a lot of – I think you're going to see a lot of people that are very attracted to a ticket that maybe a month ago they would have said never Trump, and Mike Pence is that really calm guy that they really want. That being said, calm guys that they really want don't make a lot of noise, which is not the worst possible thing for the Trump campaign. That being said, again, tonight was a complete and utter disaster. Since you started your show, Melania Trump's speech has been found to be a giant chunk of plagiarism from Michelle Obama's.
No.
Yeah, it's like the same thing.
What?
They're like the same thing.
Yeah, there's two paragraphs where she lifted pretty much word for word from Michelle Obama. So that didn't go well.
But Brandon, if you say it with an accent, who's going to tell the difference?
Words matter. There are transcripts for a reason.
But it sounds so terribly different. No, she made the words hers though.
She did them totally Dane Cook style.
Did she emphasize them differently? Maybe she put the commas in different places. No.
As soon as she was done speaking, the convention center slowly emptied, and she was not supposed to headline. She did not technically headline, but if you were watching any cable news coverage, she headlined. Everyone was talking over the final speakers, and that's maybe another reason why it was easy to get an Uber home without a surge, because it wasn't a mass exodus of people. It was a slow stream of people leaving. Let's go to a sports analogy. Jake Arrieta's up 7 in the 7th. No one's until the end of that game. You know what I mean?
Now that one I can go with. I can relate to that.
There you go.
Isn't she supposed to be presenting every night?
No. She was Monday night, and then tomorrow. To me, the most interesting person that's going to speak is UFC chairman Dana White. That'll be a thing. Wednesday night.
I don't know what that means, but okay.
Ultimate Fighting Championship.
Dana White is the president of UFC, which is Ultimate Fighting Championship, and he bought a company for $2 million a handful of years ago and recently sold it for $4 billion. I apologize. And he's got a lot of positive heat in terms of the business world, but a lot of negative heat when it comes to union issues and athlete safety. So it's not that different than how Donald Trump runs a lot of his businesses.
Exactly. I mean, like, if you got to cut costs, you got to cut costs.
Yeah, you got to do what you got to do.
It's all about the profit, the bottom line.
You know, I'm curious. Brandon a second ago said that Mike Pence really evened out the ticket. Is it a smart idea for someone to vote for the vice president and not the president on a ticket? Like, the president's role is a bigger deal, right? He does more important things than the vice president. Or no, is it a good idea to vote for the VP you like, even if the president's terrible?
Go, you first, Brandon. What are your thoughts
There's never been an election like this. And the idea that you could even put this man being Trump, in the same type of category as your standard president and your standard vice president with things is a very difficult thing to say. And I think because it's a man that's never even held office, let alone the highest office in the land, I do think Pence is a very good, solid choice for a VP, and I don't think for the Democrats it matters. So Craig is 100% right if it comes to the DNC, but for the GOP in this, I think it actually does matter.
Well, and there were some rumblings, Craig, that, you know, there were people who thought, well, what if it gets all the way down to go time? He's elected, and then he goes, I can't do the
right
job.
He steps down. Yeah, I've heard that.
That's that rumor.
Right. It's just confusing that you would go, okay, I'm going to vote for this vice president, and, you know, the president doesn't matter so much.
I have so many questions for Brandon. Brandon, did you watch the 60 Minutes interview with Governor Pence and
Donald
Trump?
Yeah, I love it.
Oh, my God. So Leslie Stalling was asking about Governor Pence when he was serving as a rep, his vote on Iraq, and Donald Trump said, no, it's okay. He's allowed to make a mistake voting for that. And she goes, but so did Hillary Clinton. Well, yeah, no, but that's not okay. Wait a minute. I'm so confused.
Stop using logic. It's not about logic.
I know. It made my head. My ears wanted to meet each other. They were like, if I could just crawl on the other side and make it, maybe it'll make more sense if they're on the sounds coming from the same place. All right. We have to let you go, Brandon. I have so many more questions, including periods for Pence. But let's do that later in the week. I don't know if you've heard about
Absolutely.
That. All right. We'll check in with you tomorrow. Do you mind?
Sounds good.
All right. We're going to check in with Brandon Weatherby tomorrow night from the RNC in Cleveland. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. I am live in the Allstate Showcase studio, but joining us live from Cleveland, from the National Convention for the Republicans. I've decided to go a different way. Do you like how I reorganized the letters? The National Convention for the Republicans. Maybe that would help them. What do you think, Brandon Weatherby?
That would not help them.
No? A lot's happened since we last spoke. We were kind of talking about how you settled in. You're staying at an Airbnb in the suburbs. There was some chill protesting. Some people got in. Some of the pink code folks got in with dropped, media passes or delegate pass, whatever way they got access. It seemed very laid back yesterday. Have things changed a little bit since yesterday?
It feels like something might happen, but it doesn't. I don't think it's going to, because yes, there are definitely more cops. There are definitely more protesters, but they're not violent and they're not showing any sort of force. And there are more pro-God people there than any Black Lives Matter group. And if you think of the Westboro Baptist Church, you don't really think of them as anarchists. You know, they're just got people that want you to believe their beliefs. That's
right.
It. And
they show up, hold signs and flags and things like that.
Exactly. And mm-hmm. at the public square today, which is about three blocks away from the convention center, that's it. The religious people outnumber the social justice warriors. So it's all a wash. It doesn't really change anything. There are definitely more cops there than anyone else. And then number two would probably be the media. And then the rest are like the handful of protesters. Like it's a shell game. There's nothing here.
Did you happen to see the 100 naked women that were protesting? 100 nude women welcomed Donald Trump to Cleveland?
Yes, that was on Sunday. That was an art project, and that existed before the convention because they knew they could actually get it done. And they got it done, and good on them. Why not?
good on you for being naked.
What's wrong with that? I have no body shame. I don't care what your party platform is. You should not have body shame.
There you go. So that was a peaceful protest. You're saying the protesters have been peaceful. What has the tone been like since Melania finished her speech last night? Because you and I spoke after she addressed the convention. But things seem to have erupted after that, especially in social media. Have you talked to anybody about the fact that her speech seemed very similar to Michelle Obama's from 2008?
According to social media, she is the Stephen Glass of this election. She is no different than in trying to take down the New York Times and stealing other people's words. But in reality, no one cares. The Trump people, like always, doubled down on it and today refused to apologize for something that was clearly lifted from somebody else. And then today, Donald Trump Jr.'s speech was also most likely lifted from other speeches in the past. So it doesn't matter. You're just doubling down on a character with, and if you support Trump, good for you. You're not going to care about this stuff.
That's true.
At all.
And it just makes it makes them more angry at people who don't support Trump when we post things, you know, when we post quotes like I want to start by thanking my husband, Barack Obama, and things like that. They just they just see it as all nonsense. They see it as a diversion. Do you think it has been a diversion? Because that took up an entire news cycle. All day long, the interviews on national news have shown the video and syncing up their speeches. That really seems to have consumed a lot of the time on television.
And it's warranted for sure, but there are a lot of other things that are definitely warranted, and it goes across party lines. It's not like the Republicans are all bad and the Democrats are all good. It's just this is the thing that happened most recently. Also, this is a model, and by saying a model, I mean a fashion model speaking at the RNC. That alone is already something. And I could also be referring to Anthony Sabato Jr., who also spoke on Monday night. So it's not like
right.
This is not a gender issue. There are two models, and they both happen to be men and women. So
right. Well,
the whole thing is a joke.
Well, when you say that, as far as apologies go, the campaign's not going to apologize. If anything, I would see that the first apology goes to Melania Trump for not having her back, for putting her out on a stage and not fortifying her with a speech that was authentic to her. Because
it's really not hard to change adjectives, and you're 100% right. Most rational humans think that she kind of got a raw deal here.
Yes.
You know?
She definitely did. Unfortunately.
But at the same time, chose your party. You chose your teammate. No one forced you. Well, actually, I don't know. But no one, in theory, forced you to marry a certain individual.
Right. Right. And presumably, you are in a partnership with your spouse. You have agreed that this is what we're going to do. We're going to go out on the national stage, and we're going to do this campaign. And now I'm going to go out on stage. And, that really is the spouse comes out and says, here's what we need to know, I think, as far as, when it comes to the first person, whether it's the first lady or if it's next week, the first gentleman. What drew you to this person? Why should we be drawn to this person? What is it about their integrity, about their personality that you believe lends itself to being the leader of the most powerful country in the world?
I think Bill Clinton is the second greatest living American politician especially when it comes to speeches. And it's going to be really hard for him to say anything that isn't great. That being said, the talking points on the other side are going to be the same talking points they've had for the last 18 years since one specific scandal erupted. And if you just look at the bootleg merch at the RNC, there's just as many Monica Lewinsky jokes as there are any Benghazi joke. I can't think of one Benghazi T-shirt I've seen, but I can think of multiple Hillary Clinton, Monica Lewinsky T-shirts I've seen. So if you can bring out the same stuff that happened almost two decades ago, it doesn't matter what Bill Clinton says. It doesn't matter what Melania says.
Right. Right. It should. And I don't know that the base, worries about what she's going to say or how she says it. I do want to know what the tone is when a lot of family members come out and are talking about losing a loved one, whether it was in Benghazi or police officers. Because it does seem that the tone is, and not actually the tone, the actual words used is that the mother of the young man who was killed in Benghazi, she directly blames Hillary Clinton. And I believe that some of the other rhetoric is that the shooting of police officers, slaying them in the street, is the fault of the president and his administration. What is the tone when those folks who have very passionate and important stories to tell, but when it's about blaming and sort of being manipulated and used for these conventions, I don't quite get it. What is your take?
The tone on the floor itself is definitely more receptive to the Blue Lives Matter. Mm-hmm. And Benghazi, it doesn't necessarily hurt. And no one is saying, get this woman off the stage. But it's not nearly connecting as much as the pro-cop speeches.
Right. Right. And do you get why they're saying that that's somehow the president's fault? What kind of language are they using to point the finger directly at the president?
The president or the potential president, Hillary Clinton?
No, because it seems like are they also blaming Hillary?
Oh, they're blatantly blaming Hillary. Barack's approval rating is too high, and if you already hate Barack, you're already not going to vote for Hillary, so it's kind of pointless. At this point, you're just slandering Hillary. It doesn't really matter, honestly. What they're saying is not connecting on the floor. Once again, these are delegates. These are people that already support Trump. They don't really care about Benghazi at this point. They already agree with it. They've heard it ad nauseum.
Right. Right. So why aren't they going with something else about what they're going to do, what their plan is? Wouldn't that be a way to sort of fire up the base?
Why? What's the proof of the plan? What's your track record?
You mean talking about like your positions on things and what you're going to do?
Why would you do that? That's not what this is about. This is theater. Why would you talk about how the man got to the stage and said this line? No, you're supposed to just say the line. So it doesn't make sense.
Okay. And it doesn't matter whose line it
is. A convention is not politics. I want to make that very clear. Regardless of the side you're on, conventions are not about policy. Policy is incredibly boring and actually impacts us. This is theater.
Okay. And so theatrically, as a reviewer, what's your review of this production?
Yeah, how's
this
lighting
production?
Been? Has the lighting been very nice?
So good. So good.
Ooh,
I know that Colbert owns the Hunger Games at this point.
Oh,
it really does look like when the Hunger Games do the interviews before they actually become tribute, or after they become tributes before they actually go fight the games. Mm-hmm. The stage is so perfect. The lighting design.
Yes.
This should win an award. If this is not nominated at next year's Emmy, someone's an idiot, because what they've done with this lighting design is fantastic. The sound, on the other hand, not so good.
Oh.
The sound in the arena is a little weird, because if you notice it, it's not very full. I can't tell if you could tell on television, but in the room itself, the stage is on the floor where the Cavs would play, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it also blocks off about a third of the arena. So you're pointing all these speakers not in all directions, but in one direction, and no pun intended for the band. And it's now this weird, you can't hear everything incredibly clear. And maybe that's another reason why Benghazi's not connecting on the floor. And I'm not joking. I mean, it's difficult to tell. And on TV, you can't really understand that almost everyone on the floor is in their own little private conversation.
Wow.
And there are reporters everywhere doing their job as well.
Well, and then so does it mean that speakers like Rudy Giuliani, who pretty much was screaming and foaming at the mouth, does that connect better because he's yelling? Or Chris Christie, who decides that he's going to be the prosecutor and all the delegates are now the jury and yells, is she, what's your verdict? And they yell guilty. Does that work better with that audience?
Chris Christie's bit worked better because it was call and response, but he did it too much. He should have stuck to the rules of three. You're a comic. You understand it.
That's right.
He did it too many times. He went to the well too often. Giuliani, on the other hand, his biggest pop of the night came when he rebutted the Code Pink protester. So that's not really the sign of a good speech. His second biggest pop of the night came when he co-opted Obama's 2004 DNC speech and he said what happened. So he didn't do poorly, for sure. Giuliani would have been the star of the night, but Melania's lack of her own words really ruined it for him.
Wow. Well, that overshadows in the sense that that became the news. That became the news of the day. And I wonder how much Trump's son's speech will become the news of the day. Craig, what were you going to say?
I was curious, Brandon, do you have any word from Stacey Dash on where she is?
Yeah, what happened there?
Where is she?
Stacey Dash is still stuck in Kanye West's 2004 video for All Falls Down. Kanye West should be our president, and I say that completely sincerity. as a bipartisan person. I just want to point out one thing before we go away from Stacey Dash and the RNC. I went to a panel, the complete off-the-record panel, but the pollster from Harvard spoke, and to me, that was the most enlightening piece of the entire day. And no one's going to mention this on the floor. No one's going to mention this on any of the cable networks. But if you look at just the math and the people that are college-educated white people that like Hillary, she's going to win that vote. That vote hasn't been won by the Democrats in decades. That alone will win her the election. This is – unless Trump could do something drastic or unless Hillary does something drastically bad, the election's essentially over.
Wow. Interesting.
If you just look at the math, that's all that matters.
Okay.
Yeah, so what John DeLaVope said today to me and to this entire room of journalists, like, oh, yeah, he's just a Harvard pollster. He has no horse in this race. He doesn't care. It's not his job to care.
Now I get why you
report numbers.
Now I get why you saw this as theater today, because it's all over and Hillary's the president. This all makes sense now that it was theater and it was a real.
No. I said there's a caveat there. If something drastic happens, for example, if Hillary did have to go in front of a jury, that would have been drastic and that would have changed the playing field. But if the playing field maintains as it is, if you were a Democrat, there is no reason to worry. And if you're a Republican that supports Trump, you really need to figure out what can this party do to appeal to white college-educated people. Because if you don't appeal to them, you don't win this election. It's no longer just, I need to win Ohio.
Huh. How are the libertarians doing? Do you happen to know?
No offense to libertarians. It doesn't matter.
Oh.
there's no one talking about them here. And there's no one talking about libertarians at the RNC in 2016 – when a WWE Hall of Famer is your presidential nominee, you're never going to have a chance in the next decade. So, no, there's no rumblings of that at all.
I love Brandon's analysis of all this because he pulls no
chase.
Punches.
Yeah, he's done.
They're out. He's
nope,
out.
Nope, don't worry about it.
It's all over.
This is it.
Could I put on one other thing that is sort of
please.
Related to politics? So I went to a Breitbart party right before I called in here. I just got back. And there's a really, I guess, famous on the internet gay conservative named Milo Yiannopoulos, and he just got banned by Twitter because he's a troll, and he was one of the people behind the whole Leslie Jones and Leslie Jones Ghostbuster stuff on Twitter.
Really?
Yeah, so this is definitely a big deal right now on Twitter, but in the real world, it doesn't matter whatsoever because I was at this party, and it was quote-unquote sold out. And it was, once again, Breitbart-sponsored RNC official party, Gays Throw the Best Parties. That was their tagline.
Okay.
This is their language.
Okay.
And
could be
there
worse.
There were 200 people there, 100 of which were absolute supporters, a lot of white guys and a lot of Trump hats. And then 100 people were media people going, what's going on? That's it. It's really 100 people retweeting and finding other people in places on the internet. That's all this is. It's all BS. 100% of the games that the Chicago White Sox play at U.S. Cellular Field have more people that actually care about baseball than all of this guy's followers on Twitter. So just because you see some guy has 500,000 followers, that doesn't mean he actually is anything. Does that
right.
make sense?
Well, believe me, don't even get me started on this because I'm sure as an entertainer, you know, there are different aspects of our job where people value how many followers you have as a basis to hire you or to promote you or to, you know, have a deal with you. You know, they'll ask you in meetings in LA how many followers you have. And I'm like, well, if you add them all up, if you take my Instagram account, my Twitter, but it's not something that I develop. I mean, that's an occupation in and of itself. There are people who are savvy at it and, you know, or there are people who use it for evil with this campaign against Leslie Jones. I don't even understand what the goal was. Was it just to be a D-bag?
Yes, that is 100% the goal.
Okay.
Because there's a weird feeling you get when you see a heart on an Instagram post and a weird feeling you get when you see that you got retweeted or liked. That's it. It's just spreading vitriol. And if you look at the actual arena at the RNC, it's not full. It hasn't been full. I mean, we're only 2 days in. I get it. But in theory, if you're covering this thing, you're already in Cleveland and you already have your credentials. Why aren't you in the arena?
Right.
This is not a big deal. The 2008 campaign for Barack Obama, they had to move it to a football stadium. Keep that in mind. They can't fill a 15,000 seat basketball arena.
Wow. Yikes.
It's not as big as it sounds.
Yeah, no, I mean, they do make it out to seem, maybe that's why they use that fog machine when he came out with the Queen, because if you fill a room with fog, it's hard to see how light the room is. That makes it seem much more dramatic, and that goes back to your production values that you were talking about.
Oh, it's so great. It's such high production value.
With the fog machine. I can get one on Amazon for like $30. Okay, one more question before we go. Are you aware that there is an outbreak of the norovirus at the convention?
Oh, I'm good. I wear suits. It's fine.
Wear suits? Wait, what does that have to do with catching the norovirus?
No, he's fine. He's fine. He wears suits.
All right.
I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm a straight white man in America. Nothing could hurt me. Don't worry, especially at the RNC. Come on.
Excellent. I'm hoping that the people who came down with the virus, they move them to a different hotel and they've separated them from everybody else. I'm sure it's a great feeling, but you got to do what you got to do to keep everybody safe. Hopefully people don't come down with this. It's really nasty. All right. What else? We'll catch up with you. Can we talk to you again tomorrow? Let's talk to you every day. Why not? You're there.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
We'll have get some rest. Have one on me and we will talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you so much.
I do. I mean, send him some money so he can have a drink if he wants one. Don't play any music because I have Brendan Weatherby on the line. He's been waiting for us. He's been very patient. We scheduled him for 12:30. Brendan, how are you doing?
I'm here. I'm alive. I'm in a nursing home.
Every night we talk to you, you say you're alive as though that might be in question. I deeply apologize to you, and we haven't yet sent you money to go out and have cocktails on us, and that seems like something we should do. In particular,
yeah, you should.
Yes, yeah, I think that needs to happen. What have you enjoyed today so far?
I was on the floor during Ted Cruz's coronation of being the next GOP presidential nominee, and at the exact same 23 minutes later, the opposite of that. He went from the most loved man to the most hated man very quickly.
I heard he was booed. What was the change? Was the expectation that he would put his support behind, that he would endorse Donald Trump?
Yeah, because that's what you do at a convention.
isn't just his mere appearance isn't it implied that he supports Donald Trump?
Yeah, that's what I thought too, and I think that's what the majority of the people thought in the Quicken Loans arena. Things changed. Little Marco had his little video vignette, and that played, and everyone was like, very happy that Little Marco decided to endorse Trump, who's got very big hands. And then Ted Cruz came out to the biggest applause thus far of all 3 days. Biggest applause yet, more so than Donald Trump on Monday night. But it might be because no one expected Donald Trump to come out. But there are a lot of Cruz people there in that arena.
Right.
Cruz comes out. He's doing great. He also owned the room. He owned the room more so than any other speaker thus far.
Do you think more so than Pence?
Yes, for sure.
People interesting.
Wanted to like him. People wanted him to endorse Trump. There were so many Cruz supporters there just waiting to hear their guy get on board. And it didn't happen. And once it became clear it didn't happen, people started booing. And Ted Cruz started acting like people were not booing. And now in social media and in this news cycle, there's conflicting reports of whether Ted Cruz submitted the complete speech to the Trump campaign.
Ooh.
Some reports saying that he submitted 9 minutes and he went for 23. Some are saying that he went word for word in the Trump campaign news and they were setting him up. There's a lot of reports of people on the floor, those guys in those hats, telling people to boo. I didn't witness any of that, and I was on the floor. That being said, it wouldn't be surprising if that happened, because the night prior, I witnessed them encouraging people to cheer.
Right.
Once again, no one could really force you to boo. People could encourage you to boo. That's
right.
Is there any chance? Is there any chance? You know, you go to like a sporting event, and sometimes somebody has a weird name, like you say Lou, but it sounds like you're booing. Is there any chance everyone was just saying Cruz?
No,
Cruz.
Yeah, no.
maybe.
Nope. I'm going to go with they wanted to physically murder a man. He had to be escorted out of a box afterwards because a Trump supporter was very upset with him. I ran into many supporters after the fact that said, I won't vote for Cruz anymore. That was it. And
wow.
Yeah, I don't know why he showed up, honestly.
Was it just merely the absence of an endorsement, or was there language that specifically said, you know, that I'm not going to endorse him, or that he was opposed to Donald Trump as a candidate?
Yes. Ted Cruz is a real life troll, and Hillary Clinton is now an internet troll because he said, vote your conscience, and then Hillary Clinton retweeted Ted Cruz saying, vote your conscience. So
he said that in the speech, vote your conscience.
I think that's awesome,
he said that.
Though. I think that's awesome. Why not stand up for what he actually believes? Even though he's absolutely wrong in most respects, from my opinion, one of the things I would agree with him on is that I wouldn't vote for Trump either. And he looked the party in the face, as he's often known to do, and like literally just went, no, absolutely not. I'm not playing the games. This is how I feel. You people should do the same thing.
True. That's not true. He didn't literally say no. He backdoor pretended he was going to say yes and then said, nah, no. There's a big difference between literally saying no. John Kasich said no. John Kasich decided not to show up in his own state, in his city, and speak at multiple events around the state. He was at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame last night giving a speech. He said no. He's coming out golden. It would not be surprising if, and this is a real early prediction, if Kasich was the nominee in 2020, just by the behavior of him during this convention.
Interesting. I think
a lot of people over.
You don't think they'll vote the incumbent Trump, then?
Yeah, why not? I don't care.
Sure.
I'm bipartisan. I don't care what you people do.
Have at it. We are hanging out with Brandon Weatherby, our correspondent at the Republican National Convention. Are you going to the DNC next week?
Absolutely.
This is exciting. See, I hope that it is as mock-worthy as this has been. Because, I like a train wreck. I like chaos.
Yeah, go America.
Yay! It's all coming apart at the seams. Brandon Weatherby, how should people follow you on Twitter and such?
@YMTE. I ran into professional wrestler Dolph Ziggler tonight. I ran into Robert Smigel and Triumph the Insult Comic Dog.
Nice. You saw the Insult Dog? Triumph, the Insult, Triumph. I can't say words anymore. I'm trying to get to everything quickly.
The Insult Comic Dog.
That's the one. And how did that meeting go with you guys?
It's pretty indicative of the entire RNC. This has been a really, really calm and really well-run convention. And the mood is pretty positive. Even if the party isn't unified, everyone here wants to have a safe time more than anything else. And maybe they don't want to have a confrontational time. For example, very, very, very few arrests. And Robert Smigel was also at the 2004 Republican National Convention in New York City. And that was very tense. And he was escorted out very quickly. And we're on night three. And Triumph is still doing his thing in the RNC. So I think that kind of says something about the mood of both America and the way Cleveland has been running this convention.
Or it could just be that that the Republicans are ready for Triumph.
No, that's not it. It's definitely what I just said.
Well, no. I just mean, you know, after nominating Trump, an insult comic dog seems perfectly natural.
It does, kind of.
This is a good time to plug Robert Smigel's special, The Triumph. It's been nominated for an Emmy. It's on Hulu. It's really, really, really well done. And if anything, it'll make you like certain politicians more than others. For example, Mike Huckabee comes off really well.
Wow.
In the Triumph election campaign special. So that's a highly recommended piece from me, and I am not sponsored to that.
Well, there you go. Wow. That's impressive. Now, you mentioned that there haven't been that many arrests. Today, they said there were more protests than there had been in the last few days, including attempts to burn the flag and a couple confrontations, some people tussled. Did you see any of that?
Yes, that is absolutely correct, and I saw the end part of the flag burning stuff. But if you look at the flag burning people that were doing it, there were a total of 5 arrests, and they... When you go to a political convention and you burn a flag, you're going to get arrested. That's why you go do it, because you're making a statement. So good for them, and good for the city of Cleveland for handling it real well. Yes, they were arrested. That's fine. It's perfectly normal to be arrested when you're burning a flag in front of literally 100 cops. It felt like one protester to every 10 cops. If not more, then I would say probably one protester to every 100 members of the media. I mean, every day around 4 p.m., my friend, he's covering this for Fusion. He's a photographer and a videographer. We seem to have consensus of around 4 p.m. for some reason or another. That's when it gets a little bit tense.
Mm-hmm.
And then nothing happens pretty much. The Westboro Baptist Church has a bigger presence here than any social justice group.
Interesting. Now, what?
So it's not.
It's not.
I'm
go
sorry,
ahead.
Go ahead.
No, you know, you go. It's not what.
It's not what you would think was going to happen based on coverage coming in. I myself, I have not seen many guns. I mean, maybe that's because Governor Kasich said, "Hey, please don't bring guns," rather than just ban them.
Right.
And I think that was a really smart move. So, if you're a Kasich fan, I think you're really enjoying this contention.
Well, also, if you have your gun and you're a responsible gun owner, you know you're not supposed to be drinking when you're packing. So,
yeah.
What's a convention without drinking? Yeah. Of course they're going to leave their guns at home.
That's solid gun education. There's where the problem is. Solid gun education.
Guns or liquor. Guns or liquor. Well, I think liquor's winning.
Has that been your experience? Is liquor winning amongst the partygoers at the convention?
Cleveland is a wonderfully cheap city, so yes.
We still have to figure out a way to get money to you. Craig and I were talking about last night. We're like, I don't know how to do that, like money transfer thing. How about if you just, we have to figure out, we give him a cap. I think we at least $25 in drinks for Brandon Weatherby. I will stand behind that.
Okay. All right.
Esmeralda, I'll give it to Esmeralda. When are you coming back to Chicago before you go to Philadelphia?
For some odd reason, yeah. I'm taking the train tomorrow at 3 a.m. and I will be in Chicago very soon. And Esmeralda and I will actually be on GN all night, for better or worse. Friday into Saturday, talking way too much about the RNC and the upcoming DNC, and probably things that have nothing to do with politics that are interesting to people, regardless of how you are going to vote or not vote.
So you're taking Amtrak from Cleveland. Tim's laughing because he and I have ridden Amtrak together.
Every time I'm with Patty, it always comes back to trains.
You can have a lot of fun on the train and question laws across state lines. But I wish you a safe travels. Can we talk to you tomorrow night? Or are you in
Absolutely. I'll be in an Amtrak station, so I'll have nothing else to do but want to talk to you.
Okay. And so that's Friday night. You're going to be on with Esmeralda from 2 to 5 a.m. filling in for Matt Bubala, which means I can give you your cash for any drinks that you get for $25. We'll just assume. Do whatever you want with the change. But that's all I got right now for I'll try to figure out maybe I'll try to get some gift cards for you too, for all the work you've done for me, for our show, for listeners. We've done the work for the listeners. You've been our eyes on the ground, our boots. It's not really boots. It's
I'm wearing boots. I'm an adult man. I wear nice shoes and they're boots.
They're boots on the ground. Well, get some rest. You've got a big day ahead of you tomorrow. It's the big speech from Donald Trump. It's funny because we just talked about Ted Cruz. You didn't even say anything about Governor Pence's speech.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to dominate the news cycle. The only thing that people are going to remember is the lack of a kiss that almost happened.
What? Who almost kissed?
At the end of the speech, Donald Trump went in to essentially kiss his forehead and/or cheek.
Ew.
You know, like sometimes it's not that unnormal of a goodbye.
But they turned the wrong way.
Would have kind of left a shroud of Turin on his forehead too, wouldn't it have?
You're right. It's all very it's awkward when you go in for like the you think you're going to kiss somebody or you think you're going to get kissed and then it doesn't happen and then millions of people watching. That's awkward.
Yeah, well, just handshake, man.
Just keep it simple or even a fist bump. It all works. Brandon, be well. And
I don't think Donald Trump should do a fist bump to anybody. Really. any white person in their 70s should not do a fist bump. Just shake hands. Shake hands and nod.
Yeah, I think that's appropriate. I think you're absolutely right when it comes to that. Well, thank you, Brandon, and we will talk to you tomorrow night.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I'm joined by Senator Dan Katowski, who had the, what? You feel like you're surprised that I called you?
I'm always surprised that you say my name on the air. It's always just a wonderful
thing. A little
thing.
Bit of a thrill for you, is it?
It's just a little bit.
A little bit? Dave Lundy, by request of...
Every time I'm on this show, it's another bucket list moment. I just want you to know that.
I appreciate that.
Can I try this? Dan Katowski.
Oh, man.
It's Senator Dan Katowski.
That's heavy duty.
That's Dave Lundy. And reporting from the convention, outside of the RNC convention, the Quicken Center?
Quicken Loans Arena.
Is it?
The Q.
Brandon Weatherby is on the air. Hey, Brandon.
Hello, I'm on Prospect Avenue and Ontario Street. So if anyone wants to just Google Maps and figure out where I am, that's where I'm at.
I just got a
go
Pokemon.
Go find him. Go. Did you get a Jigglypuff? Or a Drowsy? Or a Jinx? No.
Yes.
Yes. They should have made the Quicken Center a gym for the Pokemon.
Yeah, the Quicken Loans Arena. It's a great space, and it's named after a company that helped with the 2008 financial crisis. So it's wonderful. It's the exact perfect spot to have this convention.
Also, it sounds a little bit like quickening. So I think that works on many levels as well.
Sure.
It's the quickening. Did you feel a little bit like the rapture might be at hand when you were listening to the speech tonight?
We need Reverend Tim Tom for that one.
Mm-hmm.
It was the opposite of the rapture tonight. Of the four nights, it was definitely the calmest, and everyone going in thought it would be the like least calmest. Also, there were a handful of things in Donald Trump's very long speech that were actually progressive on accident. The line he had about evangelicals, about how them embracing him, and maybe they shouldn't have embraced him, that got a really good laugh. It was a well-delivered line and sort of was a nod to like, hey, I haven't been so great as a husband.
Or a human, but no, it works.
Sure. I'm trying to be bipartisan here.
And yeah, me too.
The line about our the specific way he said LGBTQ fronts, either way, that was kind of cool. And Trump actually said, I'm surprised. I'm like happy to hear you people at this convention cheer for that. That's good. So that's a good thing. I'm curious. It's small steps, and that's awesome.
Baby steps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's all you could do.
What happened with the pro? There was a protester. We actually were in and out of being able to hear the feed. So he was interrupted at some point by, it seemed to me, someone with a Code Pink ribbon on. Was that correct?
Yes. Code Pink got in yet again because it's – if honestly, protesting 101 – if you're a young white woman, you're probably going to get your message across better than anybody else in terms of protesting, because no one really wants to be the one that breaks the neck of a young white girl. So that's really smart. Good for Code Pink.
Good for Code Pink. Yeah, that seemed to be a bit of a few minutes. It was longer than you would think for someone. Was she just yelling and he stopped for a moment?
Yeah, but it didn't really change anything.
No.
Like, at the end of the day, I'm glad that they got in, and I'm also glad that they were taken care of with respect. And once again, I really want to praise the staff at this convention. The GOP and the city of Cleveland did a remarkable job. There's been really no problems. There's just as many problems after any sporting event, pretty much.
Oh, that's good. That is good to hear. I'm glad that everyone was safe. And, you know, there was peaceful protest, as it should be at one of these events. What was your sense on the floor? Like, what was the sense from the crowd? Did they seem, you know, pretty fired up about their candidate?
They're not fired up. How about that?
I don't know if that.
I think that's progress.
That might be progress.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it is progress, especially from last night. I mean, the narrative I think we're all going to take away from this is Cruz's speech. That's going to be the thing that in 4 years people are going to talk about. And I don't think anything from tonight's speech that Trump gave is really going to hurt him. And I definitely don't think he said anything. He might have said a few things that will help him. I think Ivanka, yet again, is the most well-received person in this entire campaign.
She was the most well-received. Yeah, she had a very good speech. Her lip gloss was stunning. I thought that it reflected the light very well.
I don't know if you guys watched the convention or just heard it, but Trump's was the only speech that involved hit the entire screen.
Oh, no, I didn't realize that.
We didn't see that.
No, we couldn't see that part.
Here's a good plug for my Instagram. Go to @YMTE, and you could see it. It's really, really big. Remember that? Yeah, remember that wonderful Apple commercial from 1984?
Right.
Referencing 1984? It looked like that.
Wow.
Trump likes to see his head really large.
Yeah, and honestly, the Trump stuff tonight, you could say he's a bigot. You could say he's full of vitriol. I don't think this man is a bigot. I don't think he's full of vitriol. He's going into business for himself. That's all this is.
Well, do you think he feeds off of the bigotry and fear?
Oh, for sure, Because at the end of the day, he's a competitor, and he actually brought up the fact that like how he crushed everybody in the primaries. That's what he likes to do. There's not a lot of that left. The general is different than the primaries, and I don't know how that's going to play for the next few months. I don't think it's going to be a good idea, and he's sort of trying to pivot away from it. But the unscripted stuff tonight that sounded like the primaries, that was unscripted for a reason.
So what's worse, being an actual bigot or being using bigotry in order to get people to vote for you?
An actual bigot, because this man does not care and can easily be swayed.
See, I don't know. I think whether you're portraying yourself as a bigot or whether you are a bigot, there's really no difference to me or to my kids, to what they watch on TV and what people see.
Well, it's the stoking the flames of hatred and racism and anti-Semitism and anti-immigrants and anti-women and anti pretty much everybody else other than white men.
I didn't hear much of I didn't hear anything about reproductive rights. Did I miss any of that? I don't think, or women's health or gender, except from Ivanka. Yes?
Ivanka mentioned some stuff.
Yes.
The Melania and Ivanka, I don't know, at the end of the Donald Trump speech, he said, they did the job. I just wanted to.
They did a job. They did a job. Yes.
It was a job.
He just sounded like a mob boss. And that's not, I don't think he's a mob boss. It just sounded like a stereotype of a mob boss. And that made me smile.
They did a job that Americans weren't going to do.
That's right.
Pretty great. Confused.
Wait a minute. Yes.
No, I don't think it's a smart idea to just go into like, oh, he's a bigot thing. It's like, yeah, but whatever. Why do people think he's a bigot? Or why does he think these ideas are good? And I just think coming back at it with more vitriol is not helping anyone. I mean, I come from pop culture and all that stuff. And at the end of the day, like, Mr. Rogers is the man. Everyone should try to be like Mr. Rogers. And if everyone was like Mr. Rogers, these questions don't come up. And I understand that it's really easy to, like, your previous call, that's a horrible thing that happened. And no one should be murdered. It doesn't matter what race you are.
Yeah.
And Mr. Rogers, guess what? Anti-murder. That's the anti-murder candidate.
Right. Yeah. Everybody should be against that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, people vote for hope. People like having a message that's actually positive. Trump tonight said Hillary Clinton has a line. I'm with her. And then part of the crowd started chanting. Donald Trump then said, I also have a chant. Or I also have a motto. And then the crowd started chanting, lock her up. And he didn't go that route.
Right.
His answer was, I'm with America.
No, he said, I'm with you. Wasn't it, I'm with you?
Yeah, I'm with you, the citizens of America.
Right.
That's a good, that's not a horrible motto.
No, it's not.
No, no, that's a good line.
It was a very good line.
Yeah, I don't think there's this, like, veiled racism or bigotry. If anything, there's veiled Christianity and veiled family values when it's just a businessman that wants to have a title. That's all it is on this side.
Well, Trump claimed that that Hillary demands of her followers that we pledge a loyalty oath saying, I'm with you. No, it's not a loyalty oath. It's a hashtag.
Hashtag. Yeah. It's a sticker.
I guess I struggle so much with it. If my son ever fanned the flames of racism or looked at someone unequally, he would get a severe punishment for me. And I would be talking to him about where he developed this point of view and why he thinks that and why it's so harmful to think that way, because words matter. Words matter. Yeah, I know where the whole thing that's happening right now is that people are acting like words don't really matter. Or when it comes to Trump, this is about him trying to get his brand across. But part of his brand is the fact that he's using these words and they matter.
Absolutely. But I don't think he's using these words because I think it's just a mirror. That's all it is. And it's appealing. It's a light for moths. That's all this is for a lot of the core supporters here. I think there are a lot of Republicans here that don't have hate in their hearts.
See, that was a key point. You said it's a mirror. Is that what you said?
I'm sorry. I went with the wrong analogy. I should have been like, it's a light and moths. It's a candle with moths. I mean, they're just attracted to certain things, and that's a small percentage of it. And those people happen to be the loudest percentage.
Right.
That's all.
But for the most part, the people you've met and run into seem to be level-headed, wanting the best for this country, right?
Oh, absolutely. Well, it also helps that we're in Ohio, and Governor Kasich is beloved here. And at least for a lot of the people I met, considering where I'm at, that makes sense. So those are pretty level-headed people. Out of all the candidates in that race, it's either him or Bush that are the two most level-headed. So
I'd agree with that.
It's not surprising that it's a pretty level-headed convention.
I have a question about this. It goes back a little bit to last night and a little bit to, I'm guessing, the fallout today. Was there any rumbling still about Ted Cruz? Because I really loved his response.
100%. Yes. That definitely had rumblings today. I actually went to an event that his campaign manager spoke at, and it was at a Politico Hub event. And all of these events are documented on their site, and you could read the transcripts. I loved it. I learned so much more from that panel than I did from watching all of these speeches all four nights.
Really? Tell us.
Incredibly realistic about this stuff. He believes in his guy, but he's at the same time, he's a pollster, he's a numbers guy. While he does have a horse in this race, they're very realistic, and they're very harsh with their words in ways that are really refreshing. There's not as much spin on it. And they're pretty much resigned to, like, yeah, Trump cannot win. Like, the numbers don't work out. So
there you go. Yeah, I was a little bit tickled that I feel as though when Ted Cruz said the reason that he did not support Donald Trump was because he had come after his wife and his father, and I thought, he is Latino. He's holding a grudge. He just basically on the stage, on the national stage, said, say hello to my little friend, and I kind of enjoyed that.
Well, I liked when he said I wasn't going to be like some snivel. What do you say, sniveling dog?
A servile puppy.
I mean, come on, servile puppy. That's great language to introduce into the American discourse. I love that.
So Brandon, going into your next trip, you're coming home tonight on a 3 o'clock train, is that right?
Yeah.
In like two hours? I'm sorry, am I keeping...
Yeah.
You're going to get some sleep.
He's pumped.
He is pumped.
Yeah. Well, I'm so ready to leave here. Not that I don't like Cleveland or the people here, but my feet hurt.
Oh, no. All right. Well, we want to make sure that you take care of your feet. Go catch your train. We're going to see you tomorrow night. I have your petty cash I'm going to have for you.
Sweet.
For any incidentals that I can cover up to $25. And we'll talk to you tomorrow night for our crosstalk. Thank you, Brandon Weatherby. And where can people follow you on Instagram and Twitter?
@YMTE.
As the host of the podcast, You, Me, Them, Everybody. And he'll be co-hosting with Esmeralda Leon after my show tomorrow night from 2 to 5 a.m., filling in for Matt Bubala. Thank you, Brandon. Safe travels.
Thanks for having me.
Sweet. Of course, more after this on 720 WGN.